Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, yeah, we broke the big news. Well, we didn't break the big news. Maybe for you, if you were listening to the show live in the 8 o'clock hour yesterday. But, yeah, the news broke. There were Fox News alerts. There was True Social posts by JustTheNews.com. The FBI, under the direction now of President Trump's appointees, essentially with Dan Bongino as deputy director and Kash Patel as the director of the FBI, they now have a suspect in custody regarding the January 5th placement of the pipe bombs at the Republican and Democrat national headquarters the day before January 6th, back in 2021. Yes, suspect has been arrested and is due in federal court in Washington this afternoon. I think I've got a Fox News Radio story here with a little bit more details that I can share with you. Here, actually, let me see if I can just roll that for you right out the gates here. I'm just looking at the Fox News Radio affiliate website right now. Let me plug that in there. Make sure that one's going to work for you. All right, let's see if I can roll it for you right out of the system here.
Law enforcement arrested 30-year-old Brian J. Cole at a home in Woodbridge, Virginia, and charged him with transporting an explosive device with the intent to injure or kill or damage property and with attempted malicious destruction. Attorney General Pam Bondi said prosecutors and the FBI sifted through reams of existing evidence that's languished over the last nearly 5 years.
Let me be clear. There was no new tip. There was no new witness. Just good, diligent police work and prosecutorial work.
The pipe bombs placed at the RNC and DNC headquarters on January 5th were viable and found the next day as the Capitol riot was beginning, though the FBI would not say if there was a connection to the riot. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
All right, there you go. I did watch a little bit of Dan Bongino on with Sean Hannity last night talking about this story. Let me see. Actually, let's roll a little bit of that audio here right out the gates as well.
Well, the assistant director in charge of the Washington field office is an absolute manhunter. Darren, you saw him at the press conference today. In just the last couple of months, he's had to deal with the tragic National Guard shooting, Washington Safe Streets program. He's been dealing with this case and other public interest cases as well. I say that because this was a lengthy investigation. This did not just happen yesterday. We've been doing this for a while. As legal process starts to come out and filter out into the public space, you may see some more stuff tomorrow. I don't want to get ahead of it, but you'll see more. And I want to be very clear with the public. This is chapter one of a 10-20 chapter book. This investigation is not over at all. The investigation has just begun. We've interviewed the subject at length. We are still going through an enormous amount of process, accounts. So it would be very early for me to get out ahead of that on motive. I mean, obviously the motive was to drop a couple bombs and, that could have killed people. But what the actual ideology and motivation, I want to be cautious to get this gets done correctly and sometimes smooth is fast.
All right. So, yeah, obviously he's got to be cautious from an official standpoint on giving us details about the pipe bomb suspect. But Benny Johnson, he's not at the FBI, so he can give us even more information. I'll tell you what Benny Johnson shared on X yesterday. Coming up right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies, today snow showers move in during the afternoon towards the Bozeman area especially. Highs in the mid and upper 30s. For tonight, we'll see some areas of light snow with an inch or two possible around the region. Overnight lows in the mid-20s in Bozeman to the upper teens in Billings. Then we'll see more light snow on Saturday with accumulations of an inch or two expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Space is now seen as a growing battleground between the United States and China. And that issue was the focus of a House Science, Space, and Technology subcommittee hearing Thursday. Florida Republican Mike Haradopoulos set the stakes in stark terms.
Whoever leads beyond Earth will shape the future of Earth.
He continued with this description of Chinese space systems.
Their systems are designed to threaten, disrupt, and if necessary, take out United States assets in space.
Witness Dean Cheng of the Potomac Institute added,
space is central for establishing information dominance in a world where information is the new currency of power.
While witness Clayton Swope of the Center for Strategic and International Studies said the battle won't end anytime soon.
Other than an end associated with the rise and fall of nations in a time frame measured over centuries.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I noticed that I shared the post by Sean Davis on X. So did John Jackson, the Joker from X. We got to get to that one as well here. So Benny Johnson, by the way, we've had Benny Johnson on the show before, and I think we're going to see Benny Johnson back in Montana again here. I'm not going to break the news on that one, but that'll be some good stuff. I've been hearing from some of our friends in Bozeman about some stuff they've got planning in the works. But anyway, Benny Johnson said this. Based off of apparently some of the details that they're compiling on the pipe bomb suspect, the guy who planted planting pipe bombs. How am I going to say that one here for the rest of the morning? Okay, here you go. The January 6th pipe bomber terrorist was, this is from Benny Johnson, a young black guy, a radical anti-Trump activist. Wait a minute, a young black guy? I thought that Jake Tapper on CNN said that he was a white guy. Apparently he's black. He's a radical anti-Trump activist. He sued Trump and ICE and the Department of Homeland Security. He's an extreme racial justice advocate. And he works at his family's bail bonds company that frees criminal aliens from ICE custody. And then Benny Johnson adds this. Yeah, this explains exactly why the FBI and the DOJ could not find this guy for 4 years. The Biden FBI had mountains of evidence against this Brian Cole. Receipts, cell data, license plate, photos, videos of the crime. Benny Johnson says they knew exactly who did it. But Brian's profile destroys their entire MAGA, white supremacist, insurrection bomber narrative in one blow. Benny Johnson says the FBI didn't fail to catch him. Leftists protected their own. This is the biggest FBI cover-up scandal in history. What a nightmare. Now, back here, before I get to the Sean Davis post on X, here is more of Sean Hannity talking with Dan Bongino, Deputy FBI Director, last night.
You know, I don't know if you remember this. This is before you became the Deputy FBI Director. You put a post on X right after this happened. And you said there's a massive cover-up because the person that planted those pipe bombs, they don't want you to know who it is because it's either a connected anti-Trump insider or an inside job. You said that, you know, long before you even thought of as Deputy FBI Director.
Yeah, that's why I said to you this investigation's just begun. We are pretty comfortable. We have our guy. I think as the, again, legal process starts to surface and information, facts start to come out, the public's going to be very comfortable with the investigation that was conducted under Director Patel and his leadership. He's been great on this. But I don't want to, you know, listen, I was paid in the past, Sean, for my opinions. That's clear. And one day I'll be back in that space. But that's not what I'm paid for now. I'm paid to be your deputy director. And we base investigations on facts. And, you know, it was interesting. I was looking out in the crowd today at the presser, and I saw a couple of media figures who you and I both know who promoted the other scandal, the collusion hoax. And I thought to myself, you know, the difference between us and them is, you know, we evolve. As information and new inputs come out, we can produce different outputs because that's what we believe in. We believe in facts and investigations guided by facts. There were people out there in that crowd, I'm sure, still believe in this collusion fairy tale hoax. So we'll see. We're going to be guided by the facts as this thing goes forward.
All right, there you go. Dan Bongino on with Hannity last night. Full video of foxnews.com/video. All right, let's go to the Sean Davis angle here. Sean Davis, of course, was founder of The Federalist, one of the co-founders of The Federalist. Yes, CEO and co-founder of The Federalist. John Jackson and I actually ran into him at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas last January. He says this, pretty wild that Christopher Wray was Biden's FBI director, by the way. Pretty wild that Christopher Wray was able to hunt down Granny McMeemaw using nothing but a pixelated photo of a partial shoe print and DNA analysis of a single strand of fiber from her hand-knit scarf found on the Capitol steps, but he couldn't find the J6 pipe bomber, despite having his license plate, cell phone, tower pings, purchase history, or video of him walking right by the RNC and the DNC. Somebody commented on that and said, Sean, I've been a fan of your writing for years now, but Granny McMeemaw might be your finest work to date. By the way, speaking of the FBI and some of the good things now happening, thanks to the new leadership of Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, this is a really cool deal. Just yesterday afternoon, Billings, Montana, the FBI now has a new field office in Montana. And I was reading a KTVQ story about it as well. Apparently, there used to be an FBI state field office based out of Butte some 30-plus years ago, probably more than 30 years ago. And so anyway, this is the first one in decades now that the FBI has a field office here in Montana. That's obviously going to be huge. But yeah, yesterday they had the FBI operations director, Governor Greg Gianforte, U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy, and FBI Billings Field Office Special Agent in Charge Justin Gerken were all in the house for that ribbon-cutting ceremony event. On October 1st, the FBI established its 56th field office in Billings. The field office, which is now responsible for existing satellite offices in the state, will enhance investigations and continue to strengthen the relationships with federal, state, local, and tribal partners. So this is huge, especially when you look at all the drug cartel crime and some of the other stuff that we've had going on, unfortunately, in right here in Montana. All right, back right after this. Phone lines are open for you.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Lawmakers return to Capitol Hill after the Thanksgiving recess to take part in an annual tradition on the west front of the complex, the lighting of the Capitol Christmas tree. This year's tree is from the Humboldt-Toyabe National Forest in Nevada, near Reno. It's the first such Capitol Christmas tree harvested from the Silver State. In 1975, a seedling began to sprout, producing this tree nearing the Mount Rose summit. This seedling developed into Silver Bell, a 53-foot-tall fir from the Carson Ranger District. The Humboldt-Toyabe National Forest spans 5.6 million acres in Nevada and almost 700,000 acres in California. It's the largest forest in the lower 48 states. Rangers cut the tree in late October, and it arrived in Washington in mid-November. The tree had to be 50 to 80 feet tall and no more than 30 feet wide. It also needed to be pointy, conical-shaped, and free of insects or disease, and growing in an open area so its limbs weren't crowded by other trees. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
An audience. It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good Friday morning. I'm Wayne Nordblood. More progress is being made at the National Western Stock Show campus near Denver as the ribbon cutting for the newest addition to the campus was held this week. Our network's Rachel Gable has more on the junior livestock exhibitor's new Mile High Home.
Sue Ann Schutz Rogers cut the ribbon on her namesake livestock center in the yards this week. The 30-acre facility will host events year-round, including the green carpet the junior market livestock shows are known for. The 5,000-seat CoBank Arena will hold the shows, and the facility also includes a 200,000-square-foot free-span livestock hall and a 75,000-square-foot junior market barn with room for more than 1,400 head of cattle.
The thing is, it is huge. You know, the first place I'm going, whether I told you this, is when I walked, my last walkthrough was about 4 months ago. And I looked at this cow wash where they're going to be able to, you know, wash 50 cows all at the same time. And I'm going, that's my curiosity. That's the first place I want to go. And I want to see 50 cows in there getting a bath. Mm. I just want to see how all those cows do together, number one. It's just that. It really piqued my curiosity. It's a great building, but boy, is it big. Tell you what I'm really going to miss is the old National Western Club. I'm going to miss the old. I mean, and it was no great shakes. I mean, but it was there, and it had been there so long. And this new one is huge. That's one of my favorite places.
The 700-seat CoBank Auction Arena will be the home of the Sale of Champions, and the Cowboy Bar will be open with retractable doors to let the sunshine in.
Well, Rachel, I may have to explore that new Cowboy Bar for journalistic purposes, of course. Hey, just a reminder, friends, that the 2026 National Western Stock Show will begin January 10th and run through the 25th. More can be found at nationalwestern.com.
For 48 years, the Enderlin family has focused on genetics at work, cattle that thrive on grass and perform in the real world. Join Enderlin Angus for their annual bull sale, December 8th at 1 o'clock online or at the ranch near Big Timber, Montana. Selling 65 18-month-old bulls, 110 registered bred females, 120 commercial bred heifers, and 70 commercial bred coming 3-year-olds. Dare to be different with Enderlin Angus's regenerative grazing genetics. Visit EnderlinRanch.com or watch live at FrontierLiveSale.com.
It's more than a convention. It's where the cattle industry comes together. CattleCon 2026 is heading to downtown Nashville, February 3rd through February 5th. Gain insights from top cattle industry experts, connect with fellow producers, and take part in shaping the future of our business. Plus, world-class entertainment and inspiring keynote speakers. Whether you're there for the business, the education, or the good times, CattleCon is where it all comes together. Register today at convention.ncda.org.
USDA reports another New World screwworm detection in Nuevo León, Mexico, about 120 miles from the U.S. border, marking the third incident since September. Officials say each case has been isolated and linked to animal movement from affected regions further south. USDA continues a full government response and is working with Mexico to prevent northward spread. Agriculture groups are responding to the news. RCAF USA CEO Bill Bullard is warning that moving cattle from southern Mexico to the northern portion of the nation increases the risk of the pest entering the United States. Bullard is calling for continued restrictions on importing cattle, bison, and horses from Mexico until the parasite is fully eradicated there. More information can be found at screwworm.gov. I'm Lane Northland, Western Ag Network.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thanks to Lane Nordland for that report. By the way, speaking of the Western Ag Network, they partner with the great rodeo announcer, Will Rasmussen. You guys know Will Rasmussen. Of course, you know his brother, Flint Rasmussen, as well. Will Rasmussen does a rodeo show on the radio. In fact, we're going to try to carry that report as the NFR is now underway. The National Finals Rodeo is now underway in Las Vegas. So we're going to try to add that one into the lineup if we can over the next few days. But coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, Will Rasmussen is going to kick off the NFR coverage for us here. He's going to call in live to the show, kicking off the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Becky Hillier's got today off. She said her and Mitch are having fun somewhere. I couldn't even tell you where, but maybe just hanging out at home with their good neighbors. But anyway, so that's going to be a fun 7 o'clock hour edition. Very big lineup coming up for you in the 7 o'clock hour. State Auditor James Brown is going to be with us. And then Mark Sulzer with the Billings School District 2, the athletic director, talking about the big donors lining up for a new Dallas stadium. So that's the 7 o'clock hour for you. Right now we got Tim in Billings on the phone lines. Tim, what's on your mind?
Morning, Aaron. I shared a thing that I saw on LinkedIn with you, and it was some gentleman was talking about the need to improve the electrical grid and how we're moving forward with that. But he shared an interesting map, and I shared it with you, and it was from 1921, and it showed each state as the how they rank as electrical consumers within the nation. In 1921. Montana was the eighth largest consumer of electricity in the United States. So think about that. 1921, we had been a state for 32 years about, somewhere around there. We were the eighth largest consumer of electrical power. Where do people think that power is coming from? Montana has a very strong industrial background, and it's not always been just this no roads, we can't touch the wilderness. No, we utilized our natural resources. We used what God placed here for us to use. And it made a lot of people very very successful. And they've made a lot of families able to live in Montana for generations. And, you know, I think we need to look at that and look at the history of Montana, the real history, and not just say, oh, you know, it's all these trails, it's the parks, it's all this stuff. That's all great. But it, that also, to me, means that the remediation that we've done after these projects has been outstanding because people today can barely tell. I mean, there are some instances, of course, where you can tell, and obviously, you know, the Superfund sites are you know, prime examples of that, but they were not the only industrial sites in the state. And I think that, you know, Montanans need to embrace the fact that we're historically also a very industrial state, and that's how we move forward with high-paying jobs. That's how we move forward to sustain our children staying in the state instead of going to school, moving away, and then your small town dies off because there's no jobs there for them. They don't have anything to come back to.
That's exactly right. Hey, Tim, hold that thought. I want to come back to you after this 60-second Fox News update. All right, there we go. Yeah, lots of stuff to talk about in the news here on this Friday morning. In fact, I should almost BS with Tim during the next break because I'm going to be on Newsmax here later this morning on Newsmax TV, and there's like four or five topics that I think we're going to talk about on Newsmax. But, you know, Tim, he is such a source of great material. I might have to be like, hey, Tim, help a brother out here with some good material. But that's what you guys do for me every day. You guys give me the best material.
As long as I stay within the rails and don't go crazy. But, yeah, that would be awesome. Newsmax is a very, very reliable source of, you know, good news, which is a rare find in the world anymore. You're certainly at the top of the list, though, in my opinion.
Oh, you're too kind. Yeah, so I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about, but I guess there's a few things that may come up. I was thinking we were going to talk about the narco terror boats and, you know, the Democrats. They never care about Americans being targeted by narco terrorists, but, boy, are they concerned about the narcos being targeted by America, right? But there's a few different topics. Stephen A. Smith locking horns with Whoopi Goldberg over the woke stuff. Gavin Newsom. Getting jabbed by Halle Berry. That's pretty classic right there. And then, of course, the, you know, Ilhan Omar and the Minnesota Somali welfare fraud and so much more. But, Tim, I want to go back. I did see that thing that you sent me on LinkedIn. And, that was fascinating. And it tied in very well. I don't know if you heard the end of the 9 o'clock hour yesterday, but I played audio of, you know, of billionaire industrialist Dennis Washington and philanthropist here in Montana. I think he's the richest Montanan, or has been at least. But, you know, he spoke at that Montana Historical Society event where they cut the ribbon on the new building. And it was fascinating to hear him talk about Montana's industrial history, which he, of course, has played a big part in, right? From railroads to mining and so much more. And so I thought it was interesting. Yeah, when you talk about what a big deal Montana was on the national economic map. And that's, anyway, anything else you wanted to add, Tim?
Well, I just think if you look back, you know, people were flocking to Montana for these jobs. You know, I find it one little historical fact that I was always told it might just be anecdotal, but at the turn of the century, at 1900, there was more Irish people living in Butte, Montana than there was in Dublin, Ireland. I always thought that was a very fascinating fact. They needed workers. They needed people to come and work. And while the Copper Kings weren't exactly the best of the best when it comes to their humanitarian rights and types of things like that, we would not have the state we have if people weren't willing to invest their blood, sweat, and tears into this state. And I think we should be thankful. And I think that, you know, they didn't need that electricity for a trailhead. You know, they needed that for massive projects, massive work to be done. You know what?
And then they needed farmers and ranchers to feed them. They needed farmers and ranchers
exactly
to feed
right.
All the hard workers that were building this country as well. Yeah, what a fascinating history the great state of Montana has. All right, Tim, we got to run into the next break here. But, hey, stand by. I'll BS with you off air if you got a sec. Stand by.
Acton Billings.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Why don't we keep Tim around for a little bit longer? I had fun catching up with Tim. Tim in Billings there during the break. Tim is actually on the road to a hockey he's on the road to a hockey tournament right now. Although, Tim, you know, whenever I think of hockey, it's not hockey, it's hacky. Hey, we're going to a hacky tournament there, Bab. You know, I think of the super fans, Dub Bears, you know, from Saturday Night Live back in the day. Yeah, we're off to watch some hacky and eat some sausages there, Bab. You know, then you got to pound your chest that's afterwards, right. You know, because the tough kids play hockey, that's for sure. Hey, but, this is fun. Thanks for sticking around. As long as you got cell coverage when you're on the way to the hockey tournament there. This totally different topic altogether, but this is some good Freedom Friday stuff here. So I was telling you off air during the break, and you know, usually I just talk issues. I don't, you know, share too many personal things on the radio here, but I'm so proud of our son, Jackson. You know, he's playing high school football, and then the football coaches talk him into going out for wrestling. He wrestled once as a little kid, and then now here he is in the middle of high school doing wrestling again, and he's a tough, fit kid. But I'm like, man, these kids you're going to be wrestling against, they have been wrestling since they were 2 and 3 years old. I mean, you know, growing up as a kid in Glasgow, I saw some of the best wrestlers on the planet, right? So I know how tough these kids can be. But I'm just so proud of the fact that, like, he's not afraid to lose. He's not afraid to step on the mat and try something new. And frankly, it's about staying in the fight and staying in shape and being ready for the next thing.
Absolutely. Wrestling, I grew up wrestling in Montana. I was not a standout. I think I may have been slightly over 500 for my career. And it was I wrestled from the time I was about 4 years old until I graduated high school. And I saw some of those outstanding wrestlers from Glasgow, and you're absolutely right. Some of the Glasgow wrestlers were tough as nails, and it was always a fight whenever you get on the mat. And we were talking, and I have a daughter that wrestles. She's a senior in high school. She started as a freshman, never wrestled before. And I just think that wrestling, of all the endeavors that a young person can do, wrestling is one of them that it teaches you so much self-confidence, so much determination, so much self-value. You start to believe in yourself because it's just you out there, you and your opponent. You're out there in very, very little clothing in front of God and everyone, and you're on full display as to how you can perform. And my daughter, she was when she started, she had a really, really tough year that first year, and not just the wins and losses, she grew. She grew emotionally. She grew intellectually. She grew spiritually. And I think today she leads people. She leads other students in a Christian organization at her school. She's involved with the youth group at her church. She's taken on leadership roles and things that are very important to her. And I don't think she would have taken that trajectory had she not ever taken the opportunity or taken that risk to step on the mat. And we have a saying in our family is to, you know, be brave enough to suck at something new, because you never know what you'll fall in love with. You never know what you may be good at. And if you're not trying new things, and if you're not trying to expand yourself personally, you're stagnant, and that's not what we're meant to do.
You told me about how you have that sign on the wall of your house, be brave to suck at something new. And I was like, oh man, we got to share this on the air. That is just great Freedom Friday stuff, you know, like some of the great one-liners that we've heard from our friend Becky Hillier over the years as well. All right, Tim, when it comes to the big topics of the day, and I think I can hear the app or the radio playing in the background there, but Tim, when it comes to the big topics of the day, okay, the Halle Berry, Gavin Newsom stuff. This may come up on Newsmax later this morning when I join them. All I've seen is that basically Halle Berry, you know, the Hollywood actress Halle Berry, lashed out at Gavin Newsom, basically, and kind of the Democrats, if I understand it right, too, for being anti-woman. And now Gavin Newsom is like, oh, I'll call your agent. Let's get together. Now, my other reaction is, well, of course Gavin Newsom wants to get together with Halle Berry. Now, if it was, you know, some random lady down the street in L.A., he'd stiff arm her. But, oh, he's all about meeting up with Halle Berry.
Absolutely. I mean, just ask any resident of San Francisco, what will you do for us about the homeless and the drug use in the streets? Nothing. Not until C.G. King comes to town, and then we'll pressure wash the streets. I think, as we talked about, the veil on some of the more moderate Democrats and liberals is starting to lift. The fog of war, the fog of Trump derangement syndrome is starting to fade, and they're starting to realize that one man is not the source of all their problems and all their angst in the world. And that there's people in this world that they may agree with on 80% of the issues, but there's 20% issues that they really strongly disagree with, and they are vocal about it, and they're finally starting to be brave enough to speak out against this and realize that Donald Trump is not the singular source of all of their problems, and that, you know, there's a lot of other issues out there in the world that you know, are caused by other people who have just horrible ideas.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then, of course, the other topic is the Somali fraud story. That's the one I was planning on talking about anyway, if we got time. You just never know with some of this stuff. That's what I love about radio is you just have more time to be able to talk to folks, time to talk with folks, et cetera. Did you hear our coverage on the Hopi climate change stuff, our conversation with David Noble yesterday? We've been talking about, hey, where were all the hurricanes? How come there's no hurricanes? I thought because of climate change, we're supposed to always have really bad hurricane seasons, and yet we didn't this year. Well, Tim, now there is another one in the news. This is from Fox News Radio. In a stunning reversal, the journal Nature retracted its headline-grabbing 2024 study claiming climate change would inflict massive economic damage. There you go. Another one, Tim.
Another one, Tim. It's almost like the funding for the climate catastrophe crowd has run out, and now they need to shift gears and find that, oh, no, we're no longer warming. We can't call it just climate change anymore. We're going to warn about a new ice age. Oh, and the reason there are no hurricanes is because of climate change, and that's really a bad thing. We need to have these hurricanes because this jet stream is going to collapse, and you know what? I think the Earth is going to be fine. It's been fine for a long time, and as it's been proven, we don't make a pimple on the rear end of the Earth's climate when it comes to our man-made climate change.
Nice visual. You must be spending too much time in the hockey locker room.
Maybe, I don't know about that. My dad used to say that about folks that thought much more themselves than anybody else thought, and I thought that was a perfect time to use that one.
Yeah, my dad had a phrase where he'd say, that guy is the coolest guy he knows.
Coolest guy he knows.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say one thing. I was going to call yesterday. You and David were talking about, you know, Medicare expansion, all of this stuff. And my grandfather used to tell a story about 1950 when my mother was born and how they go to the hospital at night. My grandmother goes into labor, and the doctor comes in after the nurses have virtually done everything. I think my mom had already been delivered. The doctor comes into the room, and his hair is a mess. He's trying to comb his hair over with the palm of his hand. The bottom of his shirt is sticking out his fly, and he comes in, and he says, well, I guess everything looks good here, and sent my grandpa a $25 bill for the services rendered, which in today's economy would equal about $336. And I thought, you know, how perfect is this? A doctor shows up, gets his cut, and that's a prime example of why Medicare and Medicaid and all of these, you know, publicly funded programs don't work, is because you got too many pies in the finger that don't control a lick.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. What a great point. Great points all around. Tim, drive safe. Have fun at the hacky tournament there. Eat some sausages there for Bob and the rest of the crew and the super fans watching the game. Great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Hey, speaking of this, you know, you think bacon, you think sausage, you typically think of pork, right? I've had some beef bacon from Reminisce Angus Ranch out of Dillon, Montana, and it's good stuff. It's good beef bacon. You can get your hands on the beef bacon as well, especially, hey, it's breakfast time right now. You can get your hands on their steaks. You can get your hands on the ground beef. You can get your hands on the beef bacon. Or if you just want to look nice there in the hockey stands, you can get some beef tallow. They now have a tallow, I think it's like a lotion or something product that they're offering up from Reminisce Angus Ranch in Dillon, really popular with the ladies in particular. Check it out. You can find their beef jerky in a lot of the town pump locations in parts of Montana. Some of the town and country stores have their beef in the store. But in other ways, you can just go direct to the ranch and then back direct to you as the consumer. Go to remangus.com. That's remangus.com. To get the beef bacon and so much more. Maybe even your beef sausages there, Bob. Maybe even some of that. All right. Yeah, and of course, we get a chance to catch up with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus Ranch, with updates on the Maha agenda and so much more. So it's always fun to chat with him and then just to hear about life on the ranch during different seasons of the year. Really, really cool to hear the way he tells it. We got the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation next. It's Friday.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Don't rush to judgment, but the media so hates Donald Trump and anybody and everybody associated with him that they forever rush to judgment. They never cared that Mar-a-Lago was valued at $18 million by a judge who wouldn't allow a real estate appraiser from Palm Beach to point out it was over a $1 billion property. Not one Democrat, nobody in the state-run legacy media mob gave a hoot. They didn't care. They allowed the lie to be perpetrated. Nobody on the left, no Democrat, said, oh, no, that you can't do that. That would not be legal. That's not how our legal system works.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
You know, and all the time I have been telling you about Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, I can honestly say I've never seen an offer like this before. Listen to this. Unlimited talk, unlimited text, unlimited data with a 30-gig hotspot for just $29.95 a month for life. Friends, this is Pure Talk's top-tier plan. Normally $65 a month. Now, through December the 7th, just $29.95 a month, and you're saving over 50% a month every month for life. Now, remember, you get the same cell towers, same 5G network, #250, keyword, save now, do it now, the best offer you will ever get on cell service, #250, keyword, save now, from Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, America's wireless company.
Taxes and fees not included. Some restrictions apply. See puretalk.com for details. Offer ends 12/7/25.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies today, snow showers move in during the afternoon towards the Bozeman area especially. Highs in the mid and upper 30s. For tonight, we'll see some areas of light snow with an inch or two possible around the region. Overnight lows in the mid-20s in Bozeman to the upper teens in Billings. Then we'll see more light snow on Saturday with accumulations of an inch or two expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Ice raids in Belgrade, Montana. You guys remember that story from last summer? Well, now a Belgrade woman pleads guilty in federal court to harboring illegal aliens. A lot of them. We've got photographs from that raid and much more, plus a lot of new details. Thanks to U.S. Attorney Kurt Olmey's office and the news out of federal court. You can find that story and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com or better yet, download the Montana Talks app on your phone. You would have already gotten the story.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem, Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
For the past quarter century, the Montana Family Foundation has been a key player in crafting social conservative public policy, not only at the state level, but at the federal level as well. In short, we legislate, we litigate, we research, and we educate, all from a Judeo-Christian perspective, and all focused on four main areas: life, family, religious liberty, and school choice. Over the decades, we've used this broadcast to announce some major wins. Wins at the ballot box, wins at the legislature, and wins in court. Most notably, our involvement in the case of Montana Department of Revenue versus Espinosa. A win at the U.S. Supreme Court that overturned religiously discriminatory language in 38 state constitutions. Now, it's time to go to the next level. This week, we announced the construction of the Montana Center for Christian Policy, a 10,000 square foot, three-story facility just three blocks from the Capitol in the very center of Montana's policymaking arena. In addition to being near the Capitol, this location at the busy intersection of 11th and Roberts stands in close proximity to the Department of Justice, the Office of Public Instruction, and the Montana Supreme Court. In addition to being a permanent home for the Montana Family Foundation and our research arm, the Montana Family Institute, the Center for Christian Policy will serve as Montana's first vertically integrated hub, bringing together Christian nonprofits, conservative Christian attorneys, and advocates of social conservative public policy together under one roof, working together to defend biblical values and strengthen the voice of faith in Montana's public square. When we use the term vertically integrated, we mean just that. All three floors house very different functions, yet feed off of each other with a synergy that allows the effectiveness of the whole to be much greater than the sum of the parts. The third floor serves as our policy and strategy center, having legislative research, communications, and training facilities, as well as staff offices, a large briefing and reception space, and a secure room for private meetings overlooking the Capitol. The second floor will house law offices and private Christian attorneys who will be required to provide pro bono legal counsel to augment our litigation efforts on the third floor, as well as supporting the occupants on the first floor, which is probably the most exciting part of this project. Last year, I spoke at a seminar for Christian nonprofits and came to realize that there are many small organizations doing valuable work by one or two people working out of a spare room in someone's home. Our vision is to bring these small nonprofits together under one roof in the equivalent of a Christian nonprofit business incubator. In addition to the synergy they'll develop by being around each other, they'll have access to pro bono legal counsel from the lawyers on the second floor to help them develop their corporate documents and advice on nonprofit best business practices from our team on the third floor. We can help grow them and get them stabilized more quickly and at the same time reduce their failure rate. This is by far the largest project we've ever undertaken, costing several million dollars, but it's the next logical step in establishing a permanent presence that will influence public policy in a positive way from a Judeo-Christian perspective in Montana for years to come. If these goals are important to you, then we invite you to check out the pictures and the tax-deductible donation link on the building page of our website at montanafamily.org. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlo.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.